It's time for the Las Vegas Sports Line.
Money won is twice as sweet as money earned.
Yeah, heading to the weekend. It's the final weekend of the regular season in college basketball. The tournaments are underway. March Madness is here. Teddy Covers is here, too. I'm Dave Koken. All right, Platinum is doing the production today. We get Kelly Stewart, Kelly in Vegas later on, and Jason Brinks, an absolutely as sharp as it gets college basketball analyst, will be with us as we bring you the Friday edition of the Las Vegas Sports Line. Big, big news in college basketball today, and kind of knew something might be coming here when the USA Today report came out yesterday regarding Will Wade getting caught on a wiretap. Talking to someone he shouldn't have been talking to about a recruit and a deal, and he has now been suspended by LSU for the rest of the season. You know, that's bigger than a player being suspended. LSU is a well-coached team. Will Wade is one of the rising superstars in college basketball, or at least was. And, boy, this is a big story, Teddy.
Sure, this is the number 10 team in the country. Mm. You know, I mean, this has been a really good year for SEC basketball. And a team like LSU is poised to make some noise in March. So, well, it'd be interesting to see how they respond. Now, a lot of times they say, all right, the coach is gone, the coach is suspended, there's turmoil, there's media attention they don't want or need. Most of the time, that's a negative situation for bettors. However, sometimes veteran team, it's us against the world mentality, and you can have a different response. So it'd be interesting to see how much the markets devalue LSU off the, because this is not a short. I mean, they will wait. I don't think they think he can come back. I don't think he comes back.
I don't know. I'm not going to say
it looks bad. It sounds bad.
I'm not going to say anything because the whole world jumped the gun on Archie not Archie Miller, the brother, the older brother at Arizona, Sean Miller.
Yeah,
I forgot his name for a second. Mm-hmm. The whole world jumped the gun. Oh, that's it. He's gone, and then he wasn't. So I'm going to wait and see what happens. But, I mean, I wouldn't bet on Will Wade still being the LSU coach. Let's put it that way.
And LSU is not a program that can say anything. But we are shocked that there's...
Casablanca
exactly. That there's
you didn't do a Claude Rains voice, though.
I don't have it in me. But
no, neither do I.
You know, this is not a school that has historically been perfectly clean. We'll just put it that way.
No, and, you know... Now, as weird as it sounds, it's kind of like the football program is probably sitting there and going, we don't need these eyes on us. Just get rid of this guy.
Well, everybody thinks that.
The football program is going to tell them what to do.
I mean, there's not a program in the country that can withstand an NCAA investigation, that can withstand, you know, the serious level of scrutiny without there being some violation.
And this is a bad one.
But
because this guy's a convicted felon already.
Sure, and he's on tape talking about everybody getting deals, and this is the deal we're giving him, and that's the deal we're giving him, and that's, you know, it doesn't pass the eye test very well.
No, sure doesn't. This sucks. Bad news. I mean, this just sucks. I know he's 74, so it's not like it's the rarest thing in the world, but the news on Tom Seaver is just so... It's just so disheartening. He will no longer be making any public appearances. He's been diagnosed with dementia. He's going to just spend his time at home. And that means that includes the 50th anniversary of the 69 World Series Mets celebration, which is going to be big. It's really going to be a big deal. And it just sucks. I mean, he's 74. It shouldn't be happening that soon. And it's just, it's really sad news.
Man, that's my boyhood idol. Mm. I mean, legitimately. You know, I loved playing sports growing up, and I was bad at everything. The only thing I was ever good at was pitching. You know, and I wasn't that good, but you know, as a kid, I could get other kids out. And as Tom Seaver was, you know, as a Mets fan growing up in New York, I could tell you June 15th, 1977. To this day, I feel like that's the day my childhood ended. You know, when I woke up that morning and M. Donald Grant had traded away Seaver and King Kong. You know, Dave Kingman, who were, you know, my two favorite players that day. Those weren't the days where you had rumors and you knew it was coming. I didn't know it was coming. It was like I woke up and someone just dumped a bucket of water over me. But Seaver, he was so good to watch and so consistent for so long. It is sad news.
One of the all-time greats, no question about that. We don't know where Antonio Brown's going. So much for the Buffalo Bills reports which surfaced. And this is why stuff has to get verified, because there it was. Mm-hmm. He's going to the Bills. No, he's not. Okay. And in fact, the Bills are now out of the mix completely from what we hear. I don't know where Antonio Brown's going to land. For Bills fans, it's another kick in the gut because they had to be really excited when that news broke.
If you're a Bills fan, the last thing you want them to do is trade picks for Antonio Brown and then pay Antonio Brown big money.
Well, but he's an awful good receiver, and he's a superstar. He can still be a game changer for a couple of years.
He can be a game changer on a team that's competing for titles.
Right.
If you're in a building process like Buffalo, the other teams I'm hearing, Oakland, like how dumb can the Raiders possibly be?
Oh, the Raiders can be pretty dumb.
I know. And then that's what I'm saying. It's all the bad organizations. The Redskins are rumored, that organization's been as bad as any in the NFL. It's like, no, Antonio Brown, if you have a chance to win a title this year, maybe you make that case. But do you see the Patriots chasing him?
Well, okay, I'm just going to say this. You know what could happen is no deal gets done, and they're just sitting there waiting in the weeds and swoop in at the last second and say, hey, hi, Randy Moss the second. Come on over for a couple
of
years.
We'll give you a third rounder for him. New England's done.
They've done it before.
But the Steelers wouldn't let him get him. There's no way.
I suppose. But, they're always the team that's the last thing you hear. Oh, who? You with the who saw Gordon ending up there? I know he got in trouble again, but still, guy could still play. And
that offense was noticeably better with him on the field.
Yep.
So then again, they won a Super Bowl without him.
Never rule the Patriots out of anything.
Sure, but this whole Antonio Brown, where's he going to go? And whoever from the Steelers, we have to make a deal by Friday. Like that's the best way to get max value.
No.
No,
just take your time.
No deadline.
You have no rush. You can wait until August if you have to. I know they want to get something done for this year's draft, I suppose, but if worst comes to worst, you just wait, hold your ground, because somebody will get desperate. If right now they're not dealing from a position of strength right now, so you have to put yourself into a position of strength somehow. And that generally happens when somebody's, to me, they don't have to trade him before this year's draft. Wait and find out which team got disappointed in the draft, might have been looking for a receiver, and that's who you go after at that point.
Yeah, no argument. But again, buyer beware on the mercurial wide receivers.
Time to run down some of today's games. We have a couple of games, one in progress and one done in the Missouri Valley Conference. Earlier, it was Loyola announcing that they are ready for the postseason.
We're back.
I think Loyola's been screwing around all year, to tell you the truth. They've had a lack of focus on a regular basis this year.
That was a big first half today.
Yeah, it was. Final score was rather misleading that game. They beat Valpo 67-54. It was never a basketball game. In progress right now, a close one between Bradley and Missouri State. And I just lost the score.
I've got 45-44. Bradley with a one-point lead. Just 7.5 to go.
Okay, well, if they're still ahead by 4 minutes, with four minutes to go, and it's close, then you can run to bet Missouri State because they will win the last 4 minutes of the game. I can tell you that.
You're running. You're having a rough time in those last 4 minutes, are you?
It's been difficult. VMI and Western Carolina are underway in the SoCon first game in Western Carolina with the early 9-7 lead. And in the Ivy League, I don't know why they're playing this early, but they are. And Brown is leading early in the second half at Princeton 35-28. Let's take a look at some of tonight's action as we head to the MJ Christensen Diamonds 4-4.
1, 2, 3, and 4.
Put the fours up. Put the fours up, I said. Do it right now.
Tonight's action is just around the bend, and the guys want to get your night off to a great start.
4.
It's the Las Vegas Sports Lines. 4-4.
Not 1, not 2, not 3, but 4.
Unbelievable.
And I was just made aware today that MJ Christensen will be celebrating, and this is really remarkable by Las Vegas standards, their 80th anniversary next month. They've been around for 80 years.
Nobody's been around for 80 years in Vegas.
In Las Vegas? No.
Cokin, maybe.
No, I was just going to say, they've been around longer than I have. And that's really saying something. And they're in a lot better shape. So we'll tell you about some amazing things that are going to be taking place at MJ Christensen Diamonds for the 80th anniversary throughout the month of April. And we'll tell you about that over the next few weeks. Meanwhile, stop down at the store today and check out all the available merchandise, some great deals, some just top quality products. You'll love it at MJ Christensen. We will open things up with, I meant to get to the Phillies. I left that out. Well, we'll get our Major League Baseball preview in on the Phillies at some point in today's show. Let's go to the games. 76ers and Rockets tonight, NBA. Look, I know it's the regular season still, and you know, everybody's getting ready for the playoffs. But the 76ers, they're in a fight right now to try and get one of those four top seeds in the East. And I don't know if they're going to get it or not. And I do think that could be a very important deal in the first round.
I don't think it matters one bit.
You know, Matt, what if it's them in Boston? I think home court matters in a Philadelphia-Boston series if it happens.
But, I mean, the whole thing is that Indiana, who's sitting there, you know, one win ahead of the Sixers now and two wins ahead of the Celtics, Indiana's not that good. And if Indiana's in the first round against any of these teams, they'll beat them. And
they keep hanging in there.
Sure, but they're it's not a long-term issue. There's still, you know, 15, 20 games to go in this NBA season. The Pacers will fall. and we've seen that already.
I think they're right, yeah.
I mean, the question is, what are the Sixers going to be capable of doing without Embiid, you know? And it's kind of they're 4-3 straight up without him. 3-4 against the spread. They haven't played particularly well. He's not the only front court injury they have. And the Rockets right now are playing probably
right now they're playing their best ball of the season.
Sure, but then, you know,
doesn't mean anything, because we've seen this before out of the Rockets, and all of a sudden, it's like, where the hell did that game come from? And they just, you know, they can lose by 20. I don't think that's going
to
happen. But.
Well, listen to the quote from D'Antoni. You know, it's pretty good right now. Maybe too much.
Ooh.
You know, that's a season-high winning streak for Houston. And it's Philly just got embarrassed on ESPN the other night, losing to the lowly Bulls. So, I'm not laying. I'll put it that way.
I wanted to mention this game because it's on TV tonight. That's one thing. And the other is that it's one of those teams that has, this team could be playing into the second weekend of the NCAA tournament. And I don't even think that's a stretch at this point. VCU is good. They're hosting St. Joe's tonight, the pesky Hawks, who's, when they're hitting their threes, can be a pain in the neck, and when they're not, they get killed. Pretty good-sized number in the game. The one thing that, and Ralph Michaels was the one who alerted me to this, was a good story in the Richmond newspaper on why VCU is playing so well right now, and part of it is this phenomenal conditioning that they're in. Goes back to preseason, and they were just doing running, and it's showing. I mean, they're crushing teams the second half with fresh legs. You know, that could happen tonight, too. It might be a game where you wait around, see what's happening in the first half, and then look for VCU to just annihilate them in the second half, because St. Joe's is a thin squad to begin with. VCU's a scary good team right now.
Sure, I love the concept there that, you know, if it's the type of score at halftime that you're like, yeah, I don't know if St. Joe's going to be able to hang, it might be a time for a VCU bet at the break. But, I mean, they've been covering numbers like crazy. What, 9-2 against the spread their last 11, the Rams. You know, as you mentioned, blowing teams out of the water. But St. Joe's doesn't turn it over.
No.
And, you know, that's why they've dominated this series ATS to the tune of 9-1 the last 10 meetings. Martelli's crafty against that VCU press.
You won't get extra possessions. St. Joe's is not good. I mean, they had no chance to be good with all the injuries they had. But they are a sound, fundamental basketball team. That's the one thing you'll always get out of Martelli coach squads.
No, they won't. They normally don't beat themselves.
A rarity. But it's a Friday night with not a lot of college basketball. And these are two really big games in the Ohio Valley Conference tonight. They're in their conference tournament. They're one of the first ones to get going. And we have two really exciting matchups tonight. They're both on national TV as well, on the ESPN family of networks. Austin Peay and Belmont in the first game. And, you know, this is one of those games where Belmont's probably going to win because they know how to finish off games. But this is not likely to be easy. Austin Peay is a very capable squad, and they've hung tough with just about everybody all year.
Yeah, I mean, my general thought process going in to the tournament is I want to be taking points, not laying them. You know, for as good as the elite teams are here, and obviously Belmont's really good, there's depth in this conference. There has been all season, and you know that there's going to be a premium and a price tag on a team like Belmont that's been really good and really good ATS. Austin Peay gave him a battle when these two teams met in January. I wouldn't be surprised they give him another one.
And Jacksonville State, which is, they're the weird team in the conference, because Jacksonville State has played their best games against the best teams. They actually played down to the level of the competition on a frequent basis. They did it again yesterday. I mean, it took forever to put down Tennessee Martin. They were trailing at the half in the game, and it was tied late, and then they got him by 7 in the end. But that's been Jacksonville State's MO all season. They beat this team, Murray State. And I don't know if that's happening again, but Murray State's going to have their hands full with another well-coached team in the Jacksonville State squad, the Gamecocks. And if you're watching this game, you'll get to see one of the most exciting talents in college basketball, a guy who might be a lottery pick, Morant from Murray State. He is a player.
Oh, they're talking about him as a top 5 pick.
I know.
Right now. But the team around him is not exceptional. You know, he's a pretty special point guard.
He's a dynamo, yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, they lost by 20 when they played Jacksonville State the first time, and they're laying tonight.
Well, Jacksonville State can crash the boards and do some damage inside. And they're not going to be scared. Ray Harper, this guy's got a very good postseason resume going back to his Western Kentucky days. He's tough in these tournaments.
Sure, and they've been chalk over and over. I think they've been like -8 or higher in their last 9 games. So it's a real point spread reversal role. They've been bad laying points. There's no betting bandwagon for Jacksonville State at all right now. Wonder if they'll be a little bit better in the underdog role.
Jason Brinks, my buddy. From back in New York, he's joining us right now. He'll be joining us live in a couple of weeks because he's coming out here for his annual Las Vegas excursion. What's going on? How are you, Jason?
How we doing, Dave?
I'm doing fine. This is your time of year. Look, this whole season's been your time of year. You've had a tremendous season, but I want to talk about the difference between the regular season and the tournaments, and also how you approach this last weekend of the regular season. So let's start there. Is this a throwaway weekend in the regular season, or are there some types of spots that you're looking at?
As far as the non-tournament games, pretty much. I'd say, you know, I bet Seton Hall on Wednesday. That's probably the last game that I'm going to bet this, you know, of the regular season. Right now, my main focus is all on these conference tournaments, specifically the smaller conference tournaments. That's where I see a lot of value in the market right now.
So why do you see value in the smaller conference tournaments? What's the different approach that you take in the minor ones as opposed to the teams that are going to send multiple bids to the big dance?
Well, first of all, Ted, when you look at these smaller conferences, you know, we're talking 99% of those teams, unless they win that tournament, they're not going to the tournament.
Right.
So you have all these teams, even the team that finished dead last in whatever conference we're talking about, you know, they're bringing maximum effort to these games because this is really their NCAA tournament. You know, and it's survive and advance for all of those teams involved. And so you just get, you know, tremendous effort from both teams. Like, it doesn't matter what game you're watching. It's like always within that, before it gets to that first TV timeout, both teams are just gas. You know, so, you know, you're getting effort, you know, from both teams that are out there. And I like to find different sort of angles. For instance, looking at first halves sometimes. I did that last night, actually, in the Jacksonville State game. I took UT Martin in the first half last night. What I liked about that situation was that UT Martin had played the night before on that court, so they were familiar with it. They kind of, I think of it as like they kind of had a lather built up. Jacksonville State was in a spot where they were completely, you know, looking ahead to this Murray State game that was looming. So I thought it was a good time to, you know, grab a dog that and also UT Martin had beaten them in the regular season. So I knew that they could play with them, and sure enough, they had a 10-point lead at the half. Cashed an easy first-half winner on that one.
Let me use a specific conference here as an example. We talk about this all the time. The Metro Atlantic Athletic Conference over the years has had some good conferences. They've had some quality teams. This is not one of those years. It's the worst I've ever seen it this year. And to me, the first thing that jumps out to me is, okay, well, you got to look underdog in the regular season. You got to keep looking underdog in the conference tournament because there's nobody that's much better than anybody else.
No, I mean, that's the thing. You know, whether the teams are good, you know, usually in some of these conferences you will have a team that's really, you know, elite compared to the others. But in the MAC this year, I mean, it is just, they just all suck.
Really?
You know,
yeah.
to put it plain and simple. And, I mean, you watch the three games last night, I mean, they were just all barn burners. So, I mean, I would be very careful laying points specifically in that conference.
Well, I mean, is that the thought process here? What I'm trying to get at is what's the philosophy itself that you're looking for in these smaller conferences? You said why you like them, because the teams are playing, you know, everyone's going to play hard the whole way through. But what's the actual strategy that you're trying to use to get winners in these conference tournament games?
Well, you know, I look at matchups. I look at how they've played each other during the year. A lot of times in these conferences, you will have teams that one team is power rated a lot higher than the other one, but the underdog actually matches up very well with that team, and that's what I find that you get a lot in these conferences.
Yeah, it, you know, or they just got the other team's number, and I saw it last night with St. Peter's, which is. St. Peter's is probably the worst team in the MAC. They're just awful. But they went 3-0 against Marist, despite the fact that Marist has a good coach in John Dunn. It's just one of those things. The Peacock players evidently got really revved up to play the guy who recruited them to St. Peter's and then left for Marist. They won all three meetings. They couldn't beat any other team in that league three times in a row. I'm quite sure of that. So that's one of those types of things that you look at this time.
Yeah. You know, definitely. I mean, you know, that's kind of a unique situation, but yeah, you know, there's definitely things like that.
All right, so we turn the clock ahead to next week, and now all these small conferences are done.
Right.
And now you're looking at the bigger conferences. Is it a different approach that you take?
Yeah. You see, in the bigger conferences, I like to look at first of all, you have in some of these conferences teams that are getting. Two or in some cases, I think three game buys.
Yes.
So, you know, I like when a team played a game the night before and won. Specifically, when they played a game and they kind of faced adversity and they got through that game and they won, I think it kind of builds a little momentum. And then sometimes they're playing a team, especially when you're talking these bigger conferences. Let's say you're playing a team like against the Florida State. Florida State, whether they win the ACC tournament, that's not really even in their sights right now.
Right.
They just want to get through that tournament, be healthy. Let's say they're playing a team that's, you know, a Clemson, just for instance. Now, that's a team that's on the bubble, so they're going to be coming in playing basically for their lives, and, you know, they can catch a team like Florida State kind of napping. So I think you could look for spots like that. You know, and I feel like every year in the Big Ten, we see a team that makes a little run. I think last year it was Iowa played really well in the tournament. You know, and you have some teams in the Big Ten that have performed terribly during the year, but are playing a lot better now. You know, take like a team like Illinois. Penn State is playing really well right now. So those are teams that are going to be playing early. And, you know, if they win, you know, they might end up playing a team like a Wisconsin or something who really has nothing to gain in this tournament. So, you know, you can catch motivation, you know, teams playing with more motivation. And also the thing with the first halves is sometimes you get those teams that are really motivated, but maybe they have two games under their belt, and by the time it gets to the second half, they're completely out of gas. So you get them running on adrenaline in the first half, and you get their best effort there.
You brought up teams on the bubble and that you generally like to be on teams that are playing for their tournament lives against perhaps some disinterested opponents in these conference tournaments, particularly when we're talking about the bigger conferences. How much are you looking to back these bubble teams? And you think that the public is so much in love with them that sometimes the value goes the other way?
Well, it kind of depends on the situation for me. I don't really always want to back that team that's on that bubble because that team is playing with a lot of pressure. But, you know, like I said, they're going to bring a lot of energy. So it's kind of like you got two things fighting. It really depends upon the opponent. If they're playing an opponent that has really nothing to gain, you know, like that Florida State or something like that, you know, then that's a spot I might want to play on that bubble team. But let's say they're playing a team that is also not even close to the bubble. That's a dangerous spot for that bubble team, I think. Like, if when they're playing a team below them, especially if you're asking them to win by any sort of margin. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it really depends on the circumstances with those bubble teams.
Let's look at tonight. Maybe find one game that you have some interest in this evening.
You know, let's go to the Metro Atlantic. I think kind of picking up a little bit about what I said about a team that played last night. They dealt with adversity. They won a tight game. I'm going to look at the Manhattan Jaspers and look to play them in the first half tonight. You know, they're playing a team, Canisius, who is just so up and down. And again, you know, in that conference, there's no way you can lay points. Manhattan's a defensive dog type of team. They're a very young roster.
The point guard's going to be—he's going to be a big star in that league.
Yeah, I really like him. The little short kid, yep. He's bombing threes from everywhere. They also have another kid that could hit threes. I like their coach. I think they're really playing together. You know, that Canisius team—they had a suspension during the year. They're just so up and down. I think Manhattan could be a live dog tonight. So I would look to go something like that.
First half, they're plus 2.5 total, only 58 for the first half, and it looks like that's going on the way down.
I wouldn't run to bet the over.
Yeah, well, if you like the under, I'd bet that sooner rather than later. A couple of the leading indicator books.
Sometimes in these first halves, you can get a higher scoring first half, and then what really happens at the end of the game, when you're in these like one possession games, it just completely slows down. So see how that plays out.
All right, you got everything set. You're gonna be out here in a couple of weeks, right?
Yeah, can't wait. Looking forward to it. I love these 3 weeks here with the conference tournaments, and then into that first week of the tournament. These are like the three best weeks of the year.
Now, I can't wait for you to get out here because. I'm probably going to try and stick you with a check someplace. What the hell, you know?
Hey, my pleasure.
There you go.
Pleasure.
I'll talk to you later, Jason. Thanks, man.
Have a good one.
Jason Brinks. Follow him on Twitter at TheRealHBC, at underscore TheRealHBC. Okay. And Teddy, I've known him for a few years. He's as sharp a college basketball guy as I know. He's really, really good. And boy, does he know those smaller conferences, especially back east.
Good info, good advice. And of course, although you're Bradley, they haven't fallen apart yet.
What's going on?
They're up 4. 51 seconds left.
Not nearly enough of a cushion. Yeah. I mean, it's overtime? No.
But it wasn't from the 4-minute timeout.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you were like, from the 4-minute timeout, whatever team I have is going to collapse.
I've had too many of those.
And it's so far so good.
They've been with short dogs. That's been, you know, it's been nasty. I like this Bradley team. I think they're pretty well coached. And this is one of the things I look for, by the way, is teams, younger teams, that really showed some improvement in the second half of the season. They can carry over, especially against these senior teams that might not, they were as good as they were going to get earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And this is one of those games. Bradley was just complete stinko early in the conference season, but they've improved. The Missouri State's a veteran team. They had that one great game against Loyola, but outside of that, they've not played especially well down the stretch. We'll see what happens in that one. All right, we'll come back. We'll get Kelly Stewart. We'll get our angle of the day, and we will get the Phillies preview in during the next segment as well.
The Las Vegas Sports Line.
.com.
On Twitter, follow us at the LV Sports Line and at ESPN 1100.
Hello, friends. This is Thomas Johnson from Joe's Seafood Prime Steak and Stone Crab. Need a great idea for lunch or dinner? Your best bet is Joe's, one of the most popular dining destinations on the Strip. Joe's provides the ideal setting for private parties with accommodations for up to 150 guests. Stop by to see us at the Forum Shops at Caesars and ask for Thomas Johnson, your maitre d'.
All right. Teddy Covers is here. Thanks to Jason Brinks for joining us the first portion of the show. Jason will be in town soon, and I'll be dining with him at Joe's. We'll make a reservation first at 702-792-9222. Teddy, what do we got?
So we have not just one, not just two. Oh. There's four angles.
What?
That are all pointing the same direction. If you like betting Mac games under the total. Akron and Kent tonight. Akron 9-2 to the under their last 11. 11-3 to the under with a push their last 15 overall. Kent 7-2 to the under their last 9 overall. And when these two teams play, the last 7 have all stayed under the total. Buck 37. Joe's angle says take Akron and Kent under the total.
It is time to bring Kelly Stewart into the conversation. You can follow her on Twitter at Kelly in Vegas. What's going on, kiddo? How are you?
You know, life's pretty good. Just got back from the Westgate, wrapping up a last little minute interview with the guys from Showtime, and I'm really excited because I got to see some of the clips from the show. Dave Koken is going to be a superstar. I did not see Teddy's clip, but I'm assuming the email last night that I sent him means that he's going to be in the show as well. So lots of fun stuff going on with the Wager Talk family in that show.
Good stuff. I want to talk some Big 12 because this is got an exciting race coming down to the wire between Texas Tech and Kansas State. Obviously, you are the Kansas State alum, and you've got great contacts back there. It's where you're from. So with some teams, I don't know whether the a regular season conference title means a whole lot. I kind of get the impression, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that it is important for Kansas State.
You know, I do think it is important for Kansas State because the last time they quote-unquote won the Big 12, they were co-champions with KU, and while they were, I believe, excited at that moment in time, one of the former basketball players tweeted the other night, this time there's not going to be a co. And I think that that is something these guys are really pushing for. Obviously, KU did no service to itself by their atrocious road play this year. K-State and KU split the 1-1 there as far as beating each other at home. But, man, this is going to be interesting. This Kansas State team is really surprised me. I thought last year was a little fluky, granted because they got to play UMBC instead of Virginia. First and foremost, they got really lucky in that aspect. But here's a Texas Tech team that, I mean, definitely the best defense in college basketball, depending on how you rate them. But according to Ken Pom, they have a great offense. And K-State has proved that, you know, they can hang with this team. They lost the one back on January 5th with no Dean Wade, no Stokes on the road. But this is a really good Kansas State team, and I think they're going to get past Oklahoma. Oklahoma obviously doesn't have a ton to play for in that game. They kind of won their Super Bowl, so to speak, after beating KU the other night. And Texas Tech has to get past Iowa State. And God, I don't know what to say has happened to Iowa State. I was touting this team early February, and I'm going, what the hell happened?
It's a complete mystery, Teddy. I don't understand. I mean, I obviously got it wrong, but I was looking at Iowa State in January and saying on this show, boy, there's a team that could make a deep run in the NCAA tournament. They don't even look like they belong in the tournament now.
No, but of course they'll get in, which gives us more chances to bet against them.
Has anybody been? I mean, obviously the coach doesn't know either because he corrected. But they have just completely gone the other way.
It's really been both ends of the floor.
Yes,
you know, because they were a better defensive team than I expected early on. That hasn't been the case since their offense has gone south. And I think maybe it might have been a spot where when they stopped making shots, they stopped playing defense. But it's been a rough run for the Cyclones. But I have to ask you, Kelly, you said that K-State's not going to have a co. Unless Texas Tech loses, K-State's still going to have a co with the championship. But at least it's not co with Kansas.
Well, and that's what I'm getting to. I actually think Iowa State is going to probably beat this Texas team. And whether everybody thinks I'm a Texas Tech team, everybody thinks I'm crazy. But Texas Tech has been really playing above their level for the last couple of weeks. And again, this Iowa State team can't quite seem to figure them out here. But coming off that terrible loss at West Virginia, they lost by 15 points to one of the worst teams in the Big 12. I don't know, man. I really feel like Iowa State's going to give Texas Tech their best game and wouldn't be surprised to see Iowa State win that one. And K-State, you know, gets past Oklahoma, they're going to be a decent-sized favorite. I'm not betting them in that situation by any means. I don't like laying points with that team. But, man, I'm going, hey, I don't know if Texas Tech can get out of that one alive.
Which team do you see out of the Big 12 making the deepest run in the NCAA tournament?
You know, that is up for debate as well. I think Texas Tech is, depending on what seed they end up getting, I think Texas Tech is going to be a team to look for. You know that we always love good defensive teams. Mm-hmm. K-State's going to be rather interesting because since they, I mean, that I throw out that loss to Kansas, I kind of feel like we knew that was going to happen after how well they played against Oklahoma State. Kind of how when they beat Texas Tech and then went on the road to A&M, I was like, this just seems fishy. And sure enough, they played terrible in the second half of that game. And that's kind of how I feel like we've seen K-State be this year. Going back to the Iowa State game where they lost in Bramlage, that was another one of those games where Iowa State was like, no, you guys came into Hilton, and now they're going to step up, and they got the win. So it's a really interesting Kansas State team. I do think they have a great defense, but maybe it's just the fan in me. I don't want to get too hyped up, but everybody's fairly healthy right now and playing good basketball, and hopefully they can make their way through the Big 12 tournament, and they're not looking ahead to March. I'll keep an eye on this team, but Oklahoma is going to be an interesting one to keep an eye on. They've been playing better basketball as of lately. Granted, they also had that ugly loss at Iowa State, but before that, nice win over TCU, nice win over Texas. As I told you guys, they were underdogs in both of those games, and I said, hey, this doesn't make sense to me here, why I'm catching points with this Oklahoma team. I do like Lon Kruger, and I do think what he's done in Oklahoma this season has been lackluster in compared to what we've seen when he's had a more talented team. But I wouldn't be surprised to see Oklahoma do something here over the next couple of weeks. And besides that, I really think that the Big 12, while it appears that everybody can beat everybody there, I don't know how I feel about it. You know, Baylor's an interesting one too with Scott Drew, but hey, I took Oklahoma State in the money line the other night, so don't really know what to make of that team as well.
Are you dismissing, and a lot of people are at this point, so this wouldn't be like a revelation.
Texas? But
no. Are you dismissing Kansas?
Hmm?
Or can Bill Self put this, what is now a very young team, get it together at the right time and make a run?
God, and that's the thing is, I don't know what we're going to see from Kansas outside of Allen Fieldhouse. Listen, I have told people for years, and they don't want to believe it. I'm like, Allen Fieldhouse is a completely different animal. You've got to give additional points. I'm not talking about how loud it is. I'm talking about how the Big 12 refs swallow whistles there. And it is just something that people have finally started to see now that we're seeing more of these Big 12 games on TV, because the Big 12 is starting to be one of those more up-and-coming conferences in terms of basketball than before, where it was just KU. And it's interesting because now we're asking this team to, they're going to beat up on Baylor real bad tomorrow, I have a feeling. Take out that aggression from that Oklahoma loss. Granted, Kansas City, where they play the Big 12 tournament, is kind of like Allen Fieldhouse 2.0.
Yeah.
So I do think we're going to see them play well in Kansas City. But, man, I just don't think I can get behind this Kansas team going on the actual road somewhere where they're not at home. As you mentioned, this is a very young team. They've got, you know, a couple of really bad key injuries there at the beginning of the year, and they just haven't overcome them outside of Allen Fieldhouse.
But with the crowd support that they're going to get, do you think the Jayhawks might well be the team to beat in the Big 12 tourney itself?
You know, I can see that. I can make a case for them. I can make a case for Kansas State and even Texas Tech, obviously. But, you know, it's always interesting. They're going to draw a crowd. Manhattan's also close. And you'd be surprised how well people travel. I wouldn't be surprised to see a ton of Iowa State fans there as well. Mm. Lubbock fans, Texas Tech fans, maybe, maybe not. We haven't seen a ton of them travel this season as far as the Texas Tech away games go. But, yeah, I mean, you have to give KU the biggest leg up there in that situation. But yeah, I could absolutely see them winning the Big 12 tournament. That is not something that's ever out of the realm of possibility for Bill Self. And as much as it pains me to say it, he's one of the best coaches in college basketball.
He is. So, yeah, he wins big games. You just can't argue against that. You are one of the busiest people around. Showtime special is coming up. CBS Sports, Wager Talk. Talk about whatever you want here. Let us know where we can see you.
Yeah, really excited. The new docu-series, I have to keep changing myself because it's a documentary, but in four parts, called Action, is going to be out. You guys are both featured in a couple other guys from Wager Talk, so really exciting. March 24th, it airs on Showtime. I'm hoping they give me a couple little more sneak peek clips so I can post them on social media. But that's going to be really exciting. Lots of fun stuff going on at Wager Talk. If you guys haven't went over and seen Dave's horse racing video on our YouTube channel, you've got to go over there. That was one of the best stories I've ever heard. I've gotten so much great feedback about that. And, hey, if anybody out there has another kind of story, they want to learn how to do certain things, they have a question, Teddy and I do all these betting videos. We do a lot of 101s because of, obviously, the new people to the market, the novice bettors. But, hey, you have a more advanced question, feel free to tweet one of us, and we'll do a video about it.
By the way, we're going to do a video probably not next week, but the week after. And I will tell you my my night with Bo Derek story.
Oh, I can't wait.
True story.
This is what I want a video of. The Showtime viewing party, man. That's what I want. What's that, the 24th of March?
We gotta figure something out as far as the group of where we're going to go. And we can all sit back and have a nice little laugh.
Well, you owe me dinner at Joe's anyway, so what the
hell? I do. I do owe you dinner at Joe's. This is true. But, hey, Dave, if I take you to dinner at Joe's, God knows the rumors are going to be flying around there.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay. Yeah, I get that. All right. I'll talk to you later. Have a good weekend.
Bye, guys.
Follow Kelly Stewart on Twitter, at Kelly in Vegas. And stay tuned for that Showtime special that'll be coming up later this month. We're going to skip the Phillies preview. We'll do it on Monday. That's the beauty of this. You know, we don't have to stick to any format. We got games to talk about. We got a Wager Talk marquee matchup to talk about next.
The Las Vegas Sports Line.
And with John Lyons from Lyons Physical Therapy, and it's not just you at LPT. You've got a staff of really experienced, qualified people.
Yeah, Dave, we have three other physical therapists on staff with combined over 50 years experience with those other three physical therapists. Our therapists specialize in different treatments. We do some trigger point dry needling. We do a lot of manual therapy involving massage, joint mobilizations. We also have physical therapy assistants and massage therapists that help treat our patients' injuries.
LyonsPTLV.com, 702-476-0222.
What's hot today? It's time for the Wager Talk marquee matchup of the night. WagerTalk.com. Start winning now.
Nuggets and Warriors tonight. This will be fun because it is the 1 and 2 seeds in the Western Conference. This could be one of those games that Golden State is really interested in because it is one of their primary challengers. It's obviously a game Denver's going to be interested in because they'd love to catch the Warriors and be the number one seed. And it's here comes that number again, Teddy. I mean, this Warriors team just doesn't cover spreads. Makes it really difficult to back them, even though the public keeps doing it.
Yeah, I mean, they've covered 1 point spread since the All-Star break.
It's amazing.
You know, one. They are dead last in the NBA ATS. If you bet against them every game, or you bet on them every game at home this year, they've covered less than 35% of the time. At one point, they were good double-digit favorites.
Yes, earlier.
Yeah. If you look at them in single-digit favorites, I mean, I'm just eyeballing it. They're, you know, less than 30%, maybe. I mean, they've been...
I mean, and part of it is, you know, here's the
interesting part. It's all about the price. They're just being asked to lay too much.
Yeah, and yet, it seems like the market is still willing to do it. It's like they keep expecting it to turn around. I mean, to me, you either look at the Nuggets or leave the game alone. I'm not advocating betting Denver here, but you just basically can't bet Golden State unless you're looking for a needle in a haystack, which is about as often as they cover these days.
Well, here's the beauty of it, okay? Because now you're like a Warriors off a loss, and that's just a loss, a bad loss,
right.
An embarrassing loss, blown off the floor, not prepared to play from the get-go, Steve Kerr talking after the game, you know, our fans don't deserve that type, you know, we owe them more than that. So it's, in theory, supposed to be your circle the wagons time for Golden, you know. Warriors off a loss this year. They're 14-6 straight up.
Okay, acceptable by their standards.
They're 6-14 against the spread. It doesn't matter. They can win tonight. It's going to be a hard-fought game. Denver just lost 3 in a row, and they just got their get-right game against the Lakers, and they're fine now. You know, I don't think there's any issues with the Nuggets. They're certainly every bit as deep as the Warriors, if not deeper. I'm with you. It's really hard for me to lay a price with Golden State at this stage of the campaign.
WagerTalk.com, NHL, NBA, college basketball, soccer, UFC.
Yeah, MMA.
Yeah, whatever's going on, you can find a handicapper who's excelling at one or more of those sports. Some great packages are available right now. Teddy, what have you got on there tonight?
Oh, yeah, tonight I've got a single best bet in the NBA and one in college tournament action as well. It's been a pretty good start to the month of March, so we'll see if we can keep it rolling.
All right, and with that, we will head to our Lions Physical Therapy Play of the Day.
It's the LPT Play of the Day. Tonight's best bet from Lions Physical Therapy, your five-star rated specialists.
So we know going in that for many teams, this weekend is just a formality. Some teams that are on the bubble might be looking to get that last regular season win to help their NCAA resume, but for a lot of teams, it's let's just get through this.
Yep.
And get to the conference tournament. So I'm looking for, give me something with a little special extra motivation tonight, and I think I found one.
Oh, what do
it's
we got?
In the Mid-American Conference, and Northern Illinois is playing Ball State tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Real battle first time around. Went right to the wire. Ball State pulled out a 72-71 decision at NIU. And that's a nice little revenge angle for Northern Illinois. I think they'd like to avenge that loss. And the bonus is Northern Illinois has been very competitive as a dog again this year. Not the first time it's happened. Ball State has been atrocious in the chalk roll. I think their plus five is, well, 5.5 went near is live. And I actually think money line, plus 180, not a bad sprinkle on this game.
Sure, and the beauty of it is, like you said, you can shop around and get the best of the number as long as you got apps on your phone.
Yes.
There's 5.5s out there. And from a money line standpoint, plus 180, I'll just say you can find better if you look around.
Well, I bet it early, so that was the best that was available at the time.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue with that at all. Northern Illinois plus.
Yeah, we'll go with Northern Illinois plus the points. And I actually won a game. I didn't win it down the stretch, but they held on down the stretch. Bradley gets me a win to start the
You're off the schneid in
Yay!
That regard. Yeah, good for you.
I like it. We'll see what happens tonight. Thanks to Kelly Stewart, at Kelly in Vegas on Twitter. Thanks to Jason Brinks, at @TheReal_HBC on Twitter. Thanks to Ted Savransky, at Teddy Covers. Wait a minute. No, it's at
Teddy_Covers.
I don't have an underscore. I'm at Dave Koken. And that's it. We're done. Stick around. Copeland and Company is coming up next. Have a great weekend. We will do it again on Monday on the Las Vegas Sportsline.